We're going to continue on in Galatians, after a manner anyway. And somehow I've got up to chapter 5. It only took me 10 years to preach through Romans. I have to go back and see when I started Galatians, but we're up to chapter 5. I may finish it before the Lord calls me home. But Paul writes this letter to the saints in Galatia, and false teachers came in, like they often do, and teach them, well, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. You know, well, yeah, but you, the Lord saves you, but, you know, except a man be circumcised, he can't be saved. You know, you got to become Jews. You got to do this. You got to do that. Brethren, it's not you got to do nothing. Jesus Christ on the cross said, "It is finished." Right. He didn't say, "I did the best I can. The rest is up to them. I want to save everybody, but they won't let me." What kind of God is that? And so Paul spoke the true gospel and extended back to the beginning. And Paul said, quoting about what the Lord said and referring back to the patriarchs, "Abraham saw my day," the Lord said, and rejoiced in it. It only been the one way of salvation. And it's been through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Christ's people were in him from eternity. Chosen in him, the scripture says, before the foundation of the world. We were in him. And when he went to Calvary's cross, he died for those people. And not one of them shall perish. And if you had to do something or you had to add something, you would mess it up. I guarantee it. And so Paul followed these things. Paul uses his own example. He speaks of how the Lord saved him. And he brought us eventually. He uses many samples in Scripture and points out those truths to us. He speaks of the liberty we have in Christ. We have liberty in Christ. But it's not an occasion to the flesh. It's not liberty to sin. It's not liberty to live like the devil. Those who are truly his, it will manifest in their life. The Holy Spirit brings things about. Verse 1 of chapter 5, Paul said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Down in verse 13, he goes on to say, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Listen, we're set free in Christ, and we're set free to live as we ought, to live as we're intended to live, as we were designed to live. That's the only true liberty. The world calls things liberty and promises it, and it brings nothing but bondage. They say, "This will set you free." No, this will enslave you. And then Paul warns the saints here. You have liberty in Christ, but those that are his will live different than the world. And Paul speaks of the works of the flesh, and he goes on to speak where we finally got on to here, the fruit of the Spirit. And he began with the works of the flesh. He talked about those things that ought not be manifest amongst Christians. I can't look at a man's heart, but the Scripture makes abundantly clear that the Lord's church are to be a disciplined institution. They're to exercise discipline over their own membership. I mean, we welcome folks to come, to hear. But those who are members of the Lord's church are to manifest certain things. They're to show their Christs. Paul had to write to those in Corinth and tell them to put one out. And he spoke of those works of the flesh, and we see them about us. We don't have to adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. See, those things are celebrated today. I saw where some congressman up in Maryland talked about, you know, we want to bring American values over there to the Ukraine, like, you know, the acceptance of the LGBT and all this, and transsexualism and all that. That's what he actually called American values. That is what we're trying to promote over in the Ukraine. And listen, I don't want to get into politics. Putin is still a politician. I don't trust him. But I tell you what, you know, he stands for his Orthodox Christian beliefs. He stands for the traditions. He stands against these things that America's trying to promote over there and shove down their throats. Not the people in Ukraine are already there. They already got a perv as their president. Okay, that's for free. But it does tie in, you see. Don't be telling me, you know. Yeah, we're promoting American values. Yeah, I guess you are, and that's a pretty sad thing. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Paul says, of such, of which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, people that are living like that are manifesting. They're not Christ. I can't look at their hearts. Thankfully, I'm not sitting in judgment of them. Paul says, look, if that's what you see in your life, you better be concerned. And then he went over, we looked the last few weeks, to the fruit of the Spirit, if you will, the positive side of it all. You know, there's these things. The fruit of the Spirit. And as we said, this is something that's wrought by God. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of you. It's not what you can bring forth. It's not what you can accomplish. But the Spirit accomplishes this in the children of God. And fruit does not come full grown. You know, you see a little something about this big out there on the citrus tree. Unless you know what that tree is, you may not even know what it is till it becomes full grown. It grows, but it's the fruit. And it's the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit brings these things. It's a gift. The fruit of the Spirit. Paul talks of, and we've already looked at a couple of these. He said love. That's agape love. That self-sacrificial love. The love that's manifested by God for His people and is worked in His people by the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And He says, love. That, again, supernatural love, really. Joy. We spoke of joy in the midst of trouble, and it's not dependent on circumstances. We're not talking about happiness, and the Scripture talks about that too, and God grants that some. Happiness comes from happenstance, you know. It's dependent on what's happening. Joy is not dependent on what's happening. Joy is to be manifest at all times and in all circumstances, and we talked about that, and we finished up speaking of joy, I think, last week, where the Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, and at the end of verse 8, he says, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is not kind of natural human stuff. Joy unspeakable. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. And then we began to look at the third one here. Paul speaks of peace. And again, I think that's one of the great blessings of the Christian life. I mean, I look at this world today. My hair doesn't look like this because I've been pulling it out, believe me. But if I didn't know the Lord, if I didn't have His, I'd be pulling my hair out. I'd have less than I have now. Lord just caused some of it to fall out. That's okay. I'm still growing, like I told those boys. Eventually, I'm going to grow right out through the top of my hair. And I'm working on it. Peace of God. That the world can't understand it, can't comprehend. Peace in Scripture, I think we finished up here last week. The Hebrew word is shalom. The Greek word, eirene. And both were used frequently as greetings. And the Jews still use, shalom, peace. And Paul's letters, and I was going to start looking at this last week. Paul writes to the various churches, and when he writes to the churches in his introduction, he always speaks to them of grace to you and peace. Grace to you and peace. Always in that order. You can't have real peace without God's grace. And Paul always says, grace to you and peace. And we'll look at a few of his introductions here, and they're pretty much the same. And I'll not belabor too much today, but and now Romans, Paul says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, the beloved of God, called to be saints. See, all those folks in Rome are saints, not what some pope says. They're saints. Called to be saints. Grace to you and peace. Grace to you and peace. And then Paul, every time he uses this as one of his greetings, he also brings together the source of those. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the source. And I want you to understand, to this Pharisee of Pharisees, to say such a thing, if he did not acknowledge the absolute deity of Jesus Christ, would be blasphemy. The Jews would never combine God the Father with some mere human. He says, peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul links these two. He equates these two. And certainly in the Jewish mind, that's exactly what he would have been doing. And that's exactly what Paul intended to do. I do believe that we're not saved by our knowledge. I'm thankful for that. Because I keep seeming to know less and less every day. But I'm not saved by my knowledge. But the Lord brings certain knowledge, I think, to all of the saints. Jesus Christ is revealed for who he is. Jesus Christ is God. And that's what Paul is really saying in each one of these letters that he writes. And just kind of tie it together a little bit. If you, over in John 8, and a familiar passage to us, but John 8 and the Lord's dealing with his detractors and so forth, as he often had to. John 8, verse 23, he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Well, we didn't come from above. We were formed in our mother's womb. We were earthly. The Lord says, you are from beneath, I'm from above. He was God. Ye are of this world. I'm not of this world. It pays to pay heed to what the Lord says. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins if ye believe not that I am he. Ye shall die in your sins. All these false cults that deny the deity of Jesus Christ, they'll die in their sins. Amen. And our honest King James translators, and they sometimes supply an English word to make the flow go along, but when they do, they always italicize it. You see, so much you can tell. The these and the thous, and the capital, all capital lords, they mean something. These modern perversions detract from the meanings, if you can draw anything from it at all. The Lord says here, if you believe not that I am He, and He's in italics. Literally, the Lord said, if you don't believe that I am, you shall perish in your sins. Now, if you have much background in Scriptures, you know where that phrase came from. When Moses was at the burning bush, and he said, who am I talking to? Who am I to say that your name is? He said, I am. That always gets goosebumps. Yes. I am. Jesus Christ said, if you believe not that I am, you shall perish in your sins. God brings His elect to see who Jesus Christ is. And just to close that out, and the Lord goes on, you know, lest you're wondering about what I'm saying. At the end of this chapter, as He's still dealing with His detractors, the Lord said in verse 56 of chapter 8, something I alluded to already, He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. You know, these Jews are like, who are you? The Lord says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. God revealed that to him. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. God brings all of His elect. Oh, the Old Testament saints didn't have all the understanding we do, but they trusted God to bring a Redeemer all the way from the garden when it said that the Lord will provide one to crush the serpent's head, the seed of a woman. There's only been one who's really the seed of a woman, that's Jesus Christ. He had no earthly father. The Lord said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And they said, oh, well then, no. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. And hast thou seen Abraham? They're pretty smart. They thought they were. You're not even 50 years old, and you're telling us you saw Abraham. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus Christ reveals to His saints, He is I Am. Jesus Christ is Jehovah God. These folks call themselves Jehovah Witnesses. They deny that very fact. Most all of the cults do that. If you get down to it, now here's the bottom line. The Lord said before, if you don't believe that I am, you shall perish in your sins. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am! And you know what? They were Jews He was talking to. They knew the Old Testament Scriptures. They knew Moses speaking to the burning bush. God saying, I am that I am. You tell Him I am sent you. Jesus Christ says, before Abraham was, I am. And then what happens? Then they took up stones to cast at Him. But Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. It wasn't yet time for Him to perish. But they wanted to kill Him.
That's right.
They wanted to kill Him. I can't help, something popped in my mind. Certain things have popped in my mind. I just thought, well, a few months ago, you know, some woman trying to portray Mary, the Lord's earthly mother, and then actually working out on the streets an abortion. You know, she would have. That's what she would have done. They want to kill him, but they can't. They can't. He walked through the midst of them until the Lord determined there on Calvary's cross, and God the Father poured His wrath out. Before Abraham was, I am. And so Paul, in each of these, and tying it back to where we were, and then we'll look at the rest of them next week, but quickly. Beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The great I am. The great Trinity. When I got more time, I'll explain to you all the details of the Trinity. Now, I don't have to, you don't have to understand it all. You know there's one God, Jesus Christ, the Jehovah. God the Father is God. Holy Spirit is God. Jesus Christ is not God the Father. The Holy Spirit is not God the Father. And I know it's true. The Bible teaches it. And Paul knew it was true. That's why he would write to these folks, some of them Jew from a Jewish background, some of them not so much. The ones in Galatia we talked about, some of them may have even been from a Gaelic background. They might have been some of my long-distance Scots relatives. But anyway, the Galatians weren't, but there were Jews in their midst. And you speak the truth, people get mad. And if you don't speak the truth, you build great big churches and rake in the dough. And there you go. Okay, I've rambled enough for today, I think. And here's the thing. Grace to you and peace. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that. The world doesn't. We're going to talk about that.
Amen.
The world doesn't have any peace. There is no peace to the wicked. They're all going crazy. They're all injecting themselves and drinking stuff and chasing after all sort of illicit relationships, looking for peace, and they never find it. Peace is in our Savior alone, and He alone brings it to His people. Okay, we'll take our hymnals. We'll turn to page number 41. My Jesus, I love thee. Number 41. And again, as far as I know, the fellow who wrote this kind of comes from a, would probably be an Arminian background, and yet he says, I love thee because thou hast first loved me. You know, folks don't just start loving the Lord unless He loves them first.
Amen.
Number 41. My Jesus, I love thee.
Thank you.
about the glittering crown on your brow, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's only one thing we're going to do with that. Scripture says we're going to take it and cast it at Jesus' feet. That's the only thing, the only reason I want a crown.
Mm-hmm.
I don't deserve it. I didn't. He did it. But he gives us these crowns, and the Scripture says we're going to cast them at his feet. Again, the source of everything. And we're thankful for that. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each one that's here. We pray your hand on each one as they go home, that you keep them safe. Lord, we pray you work in our lives, and our hearts mold and shape us. Make us that people that you would have us to be. Use us, Lord, to your glory. Lord, we realize what unworthy vessels we are. Praise you, Lord, that you deigned to use us. Thank you, Lord, for choosing us in Christ before the world was. For manifesting that in time, for giving us life, and giving us the gifts of repentance and faith, that we might embrace the gospel of our salvation, that we might experience love, joy, peace that the world cannot comprehend, that the world cannot give. Father, I pray that you might be pleased to use each of us this week. We thank you again for our Savior and his all-sufficient and completed atonement. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen.